Welcome to Mass Mayhem. This is episode 26. Oh my god, we made it through 65 episodes of this cartoon. I am one of your hosts, TF2 and Mike, and joining me is Toon Master Tim.
Hello, it's another round.
Thankfully, it's over.
Yeah, we made it to the end of season one. I'm so happy that that we finally came to the end of the series. 65 episodes.
And we still have like 40 or 30 something left to do for the He-Man show, but at least those are somewhat better than... ladies and gentlemen, we've said it throughout this entire podcast, and Tim and I have said it since we finally brought the podcast back after a two-year hiatus. The theme song, and sometimes when the original mask members would assemble and get the vehicle, that's really the only good thing about this show. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We tried to get some positive stuff, and we, all three of us, when Optimus Solo and I were doing it, and now that you and I are doing it, we have put some positive stuff in there, but the negatives outweigh the positive, like, 2,000% to -1. It's oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, by all far. Right.
Yeah. So, normally how I set a recap show up is we have favorite, least favorite episodes, favorite episodes, least favorite episodes, favorite characters, least favorite characters, and other thoughts. We can kind of do that. Looking at the original episode list, I only have, let's see, 1, 2, 3. I have like 5 episodes out of 65 that I absolutely loved. The rest of them are just, oh my god. Oh my god. You know, what, before I get into the numbers, which Optimus Solo so graciously put together for us, what, overall thoughts on the season do you have so far?
Just that of disappointment, you know, that we talked about this before. This is one of those series I was very excited about purchasing when I saw the announcement that Shout Factory was going to be releasing the entire first season. Mm-hmm. I mean, they said it was the entire series, but it's actually just the first season.
Yeah, they didn't get the rights to the other 10 episodes, which is weird. I don't know why they couldn't do that, but...
Yeah, but hey, you know, at least we got this, and... you know, had very cool packaging. If you got the entire complete series set, you got the nice box that mm-hmm. that the two volumes of the DVD sets come in, mm-hmm. And then you could buy the two volumes individually as well. But you know, I mean, I ordered it. I think I pre-ordered this one. I know I got it shortly after it came out. I was very excited about it. But I mean, and Shout Factory, they did an amazing job with it. I think the series looks very good. They threw in a couple of bonus features on the DVDs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as we started going through the series, watching the episodes, I just struggled to get through them. You know, immediately the first thing that hits you is the voice acting. This isn't very good. And the plots are kind of thin. And as you start to get a few episodes into it, you start to realize there's a pattern, which we've talked about many times before. But yeah, just overall disappointment. I was really hoping for a more exciting series, something along the lines of what the series seemed to be based off of. So, you know, something in the vein of G.I. Joe and Transformers, mm-hmm. you know, something more of that caliber is what I was hoping for.
Mm. Yeah. Sadly, we didn't. So, Optimus Solo compiled these scores for us, and he did so with his scores and my scores and with your scores and my scores. For the first half, this is episodes 1 to 14 of the podcast. For Optimus Solo, his overall for the first half was 2.79 as far as rating on the show. Mine was 2.53. For the second wow. half, yeah, for the second half, yours was, this is episodes 15 to 25, This was yours was 2.37. Mine was 1.90.
Wow. So that's the second half where I joined up, basically.
Right.
So yours really dropped significantly.
And overall, the entire 65 episodes, you and Kevin tied at 2.59 for ratings. As an overall score, my overall score was 2.23.
And I actually thought that mine might average out to be a bit higher because I know I did have a few threes and fours in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I had several ones and twos as well, which, you know, had to have brought it down. But,
right.
You know, when you let off there with, like, you know, 2.5 and, you know, 2.7, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, mine's probably going to be higher than that. But yeah, there's just so many bad ones that bring it down, even though there are a few that kind of stand out as some fairly, you know, decent or watchable episodes, I should say.
Mm-hmm. The worst combined rated episodes. Episode 6 was a 1 and a 0. Episode 13 was a double 0. Episode 15 was a 0 and a 1. Episode 37 was a 1 and a 0. Episode 51 was a 1 and 1. 59 was a 1 and 1. And 61 was a 1 and 1. So, Optimus Solo only was on till episode 34 of the cartoon, which is episode 14 of the show. So his ratings are only on 6, 13, and 15. And then for you and I, our worst combined are 37, 51, 59, and 61. The best combined episode ratings are for episode 8 of the show, of the cartoon show, 4 and a 4, 14, 4 and a 4, 19, 4 and a 4. So you and I have not had a best combined rating because the show really does suck. Again, thank you so much to Kevin for putting that together. What I find for my, my favorite episodes, I'm only going to put the first one in there because it was the first one and it was the first, you know, time I remember watching the show, which is the Death Stone. I really did like it. I thought how it set it up really well. I also like Highway to Terror. I thought that was kind of a cool thing. It's the one where Mask tries to retrieve a stash of plutonium that Venom plans to use to power an earthquake machine. I did like episode 5, Video Venom. Venom hypnotizes innocent people through their television sets and threatens to use them to attack a Texas oil refinery if not paid a hefty ransom. So I liked that one.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I liked was, where is it here? It's episode 24 of the series. This is probably this is the only one that, in my knowledge, that I gave a 5 to, was episode 24 of the series, Counterclockwise Caper. Venom conducts heists of Las Vegas casinos, and they do this by some magnetic suction machine or something where it sucks out all the gold out or whatever else. I really still love that episode. There are certain moments in the rest of the series that I like, but I cannot say that, you know, that I like any other episodes out of the original 65. I just can't. They become so monotonous and repetitive, and it's just so horrible. What are some of your favorites that you remember for episodes from the show?
There really are just a couple that I wrote down that I thought stood out. One is Fog on Boulder Hill.
Mm.
That was the one where, again, they did something a little bit different where they have the old lady that's driving by Boulder Hill and she needs help with her vehicle. And we get more shots of Boulder Hill in this episode. Venom comes along and the mask team deploys some fog, and that throws off the Venom vehicles, and you know, Boulder Hill transforms during while they have the fog screen out so that Venom can't see exactly what's going on. And it was just fun. I mean, again, Venom was after the money printing plates that were stored in the lady's car. She didn't know that they were hidden in there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that was different than going after some treasure or something like that. So I really did find that one very enjoyable.
Yeah. Any others?
Green Nightmare, I think it was, which it told some of the backstory about Matt's father.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one where his plane went down in the jungle.
Yep.
So I like that. It was one of the few times during the first season where we actually got some backstory on the characters. And then I would also say that I liked the first episode, the Death Stone. I thought that one worked out nicely. And again, at that point, we were not tired of these, reused plots.
Yeah. No. Who are some of your favorite characters from the show?
I like Rax and Vanessa a lot, and I know that they get used quite a bit during the series. Rax is kind of like Shipwreck from G.I. Joe in a way. mainly because the voice actor portraying him is using sort of a Jack Nicholson-like impression.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like. Plus, he just seems to be a strong character overall. I mean, he's goofy. He has all these things happen to him. I mean, it's where some of the slapstick comedy comes from in the episodes. He gets tossed around. He gets thrown from his vehicle a lot. Other members of the team make fun of him. But he's also not somebody who's just going to take a beating either. You know, he gives as good as he gets a lot of times. You know, he doesn't take all his flack from Miles. He's willing to stand up for himself, and just seems like one of the stronger characters on the villain side. Even though we don't get a lot of backstory on him, really, I still think he's a fun character to watch.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that that he and Vanessa play well off of each other.
Yeah. Oh, very much so. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And they are, Rax and Vanessa are two of my favorites as well. I like Gloria in some aspects. It just depends on what they give her to do.
I do too. I think that she looks like an interesting character, and sometimes she comes off as this strong female character that you really want to root for. But then there are episodes they bring her in, and it's almost like she's not even there. I mean, there were some episodes where she was called in because, you know, she had an amphibious vehicle, and, you know, she like shows up toward the end of an episode to rescue somebody who's drowning or something. I mean, yeah. They just didn't use her very effectively a lot of times.
Nope, not at all. I like Alex. I think he's really cool, but his mask is a little strange. Jackrabbit is... it's cool, but it's just... I thought the whole point of the show and the whole point of the concept of wearing a mask is you don't expose your face. And if you look at his mask, his entire mouth and, you know, beard are like there's a center point where he can breathe out of his mouth. And it's like I thought the whole point of these things was that they had, you know, breathing machine. You know, it's Darth Vader. They have breathing machines in them.
Yeah, right. I'm going to agree with you. I have him down as one of my favorite characters on the Mask team. But I've said this on earlier episodes that I don't like the mask design for Alex. I don't like Jackrabbit. That's the helmet and his powers. I don't think it fits as well in the series as a lot of the other ones do.
Yeah. I wish Hondo was used more. He wasn't used enough. Especially in those later episodes. I mean, he basically disappeared, and you brought in like Julio and whoever else, and I just don't think he was used enough. For characters I don't like, I guess I'll start out with the obvious three.
We can see this coming, folks.
You can see it coming a mile away. Matt Tracker, Scott Tracker, and T-Bob. They are three of the worst 80s cartoon characters ever. Matt Tracker is easily the worst 80s cartoon dad.
Yeah, that was actually one of the points made on one of the bonus features on the sets. The fans that are talking about the show, and one of them actually makes that point that he's one of the worst fathers ever. He's always sending Scott off. He never knows what he's doing. He's always getting into trouble. Terrible parenting.
Just horrible parenting. And then Scott and T-Bob themselves, they're just annoying. There is, I think I mentioned it, it was either episode 23 or 24 of the podcast. The only time I really felt any emotion out of Scott was when he thought T-Bob was dead or something or other. But the rest of the time, he treats T-Bob like a piece of crap. I mean, I know T-Bob is a robot. He has no feelings. But I mean, if this thing is supposed to be your best friend, at least be nice to the damn thing. Last thing we need is, T-1000s, T-Bob turning into the T-1000 or anything like that.
Rampant T-Bob just going around killing people.
As far as other characters I don't like, as I said, I wish they used Dusty, Buddy, and Hondo more. They didn't. And even Brad, they stopped using Brad for a while too. It's like, if you're gonna have this elite group of people, why are you not using all of them? Or at least, interchanging all of them throughout each episode. Like the last, what was it, 50 or so episodes, we got, like I said, Julio, and we got somebody else, and it's like, oh God. And if they would have stopped going to the godforsaken South American jungle or Venezuelan jungle or jungle in China or jungle, it's like, oh my God. How about having some city adventures, damn it? Oh
Right.
God.
I mean, here's the issue is that it's not necessarily that they're my least favorite characters, just like I don't think they are yours. It's just that they didn't have the character development that they deserved. I mean, we know that Gloria, for example, that she is into martial arts. I don't know that they ever actually use that in the episodes.
No.
Or let's say that Bruce Sato, okay, he's a toy designer, so he can obviously he has some engineering background. He can invent things. When did he ever use that ingenuity in an episode to help defeat Venom? Never. Was it, let's see, I think it was Buddy that was the master of disguises. They
He did use that a couple of times.
did
I do
use
remember.
that. Yeah, they did use that a few times and used it very effectively. But yeah, for the most part, they just didn't. And that's one of the downfalls of the show was that they could have done that more effectively.
Absolutely. What are some of your least favorite characters?
So my least favorite characters are basically the leads. So Matt and Miles are my two least favorite. They're just not effective leaders, either one of them. Matt, he's just so dry. His delivery is so dry. I just don't see him being the strong leader. Yes, he has the money, he has the tools, but I don't see him as being a motivator. And like I said, he can't keep track of where Scott is. So points off for that. And then, yes, Miles is he's a dirty, conniving, evil leader. He treats his people like crap. But again, we really don't get any development with him either. He's just evil, and he's just out to do evil things for no apparent reason.
Yep, pretty much. Overall, I cannot say. As I mentioned before, the theme song, the music, some of the animation in the first 25 episodes of the series is awesome. But I just, on a whole, I cannot say anything good about the show. I don't know. It just, like, don't get me wrong, and I'm not confusing this. When I say I cannot say anything good about Mask, I'm specifically talking about the cartoon series. I loved the toys. The toys were amazing, and they still are. So I'm not, sitting here bashing the toys at all, but, like, you have, and we've said this, you have, let's see, G.I. Joe, Transformers, He-Man,
Thundercats.
Thundercats, Voltron, Silverhawks, that's at least six. Gem, what else?
Ninja Turtles.
Turtles,
Real Ghostbusters.
Real Ghostbusters. That's close to nine cartoon series that have very well done writing. And arguably, as you said earlier, this is probably the best concept. They took G.I. Joe and Transformers and combined them. You would think that they would get better writers to write. And I know the 80s cartoons were not continuity driven like everything is today, but Jesus Christ. How. You know what? I really want, out of those 65 episodes, I want somebody to go back and count how many treasure hunts Mayhem went on, because oh my God, there were way too many. And it had to have been at least 95% of the series is treasure hunts.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, that was just a recurring theme through every episode. Well, for a lot of episodes, and like you said, this had the right formula. It really did. It had some interesting designs as far as the suits and the masks go, and the vehicles were really well done. Boulder Hill was nicely designed. They had a great design team that worked on this show. It was just putting it together with the right writers, developing a good series Bible and allowing the writers to, to branch out a bit and to, have some freedom, have some fun with it and take it in some different directions rather than, trying to follow this very strict formula of, okay, we've got to start out with Mask doing something, trying to figure out this mystery. And it's probably going to be in some remote location, and then we're going to have Matt call in some of the Mask members whom he needs, and then we'll have, some mystery, and we'll kill some time with Scott and T-Bob running off doing something, and then we'll come back to the main point of the episode, and probably about halfway through, or maybe a little bit over, we'll reveal that Venom is the one behind it, which we know all along. And then we'll have a battle and we'll wrap it up. That was the formula. But you said the toys were very good, and I do agree. I've gone online, I've looked at a lot of pictures of the toys. I don't personally have any in my collection of things. My brother did have Thunderhawk at one point. But they're very cool looking toys, and you know what? They're on model with what you see on the TV show. They're very nicely done.
I had Thunderhawk, Raven, Rhino. I had Boulder Hill, the playset.
Nice.
So.
And this is one of those cases too where you have a TV show that is, well, it's developed to sell toys. But the toys actually were done well. There are some cartoon series where the toys, in my opinion, really weren't done very well. And two of them we've already mentioned, Silverhawks and Thundercats. I think those toys, just in general, were just terrible. And I know that it was a different toy company that produced them. And I
well,
did have
some. I'll say this about Silverhawks and Thundercats, or Silvercats and Thunderhawks, is that the Silverhawks were a better toy design than Thundercats. Thundercats were stout, stubby figures. The sort of omens that supposedly came with Lionel was really like cheap plastic.
Yes, it was.
The only really two great, amazing, oh my god, things that came out of the Thundercats line, and I had them both, Cat Slayer and the Thunder Tank.
Right, and the Thunder
Those
Tank.
Those were awesome. But the figures themselves, yeah, no. And see, that's the cool thing about the Mass Toys is the figure came with the vehicle instead of this, you know, you can get this vehicle action figure sold separately.
Yes.
It's like, oh my god.
That's right. Yeah, and they fit in their vehicles too.
Mm-hmm. Fit in the vehicles, came with the mask helmets and everything else. So yeah, that's it for season one. We have 10 episodes of the pod. Well, we don't have 10 episodes of the podcast left. We have 4 episodes of the podcast left. But those are going to be dedicated to the 10 episodes that's called the Racing Series Season 2 of Mask. We're going to take a quick ad break, come back with our little teases for Season 2 after this.
Now for a behind-the-scenes look at Geekcast Radio Network's newest show, Talking in Circles.
So, Chuck, Greg, what are you guys thinking for this week's show?
Well, Dan, how about we just talk about the things that we've read or watched this week?
We do reviews like that every week, Chuck. How about a game like Fact or Fiction or The Power of Names?
Those are great, and we're always coming up with new ideas for games. And how about some top fives? You know how I love my top fives.
What about tournament-style brackets, or sequel, reboot, and destroy, who will win in a fight, taking too far, crazy but true news, or...
Yes, it appears we have lots of things to work on.
Listen to Talking in Circles, taking timeless topics in new directions, every Tuesday on iTunes or GeekCastRadio.com, the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hey, Dan, who's the guy with the creepy voice?
Ah, brave new world that has such putzes in it. You know, kids, a lot has changed while your old Uncle Joker's been away. New Gotham, new rules, even a new Batman.
It isn't 65 years in the future, but Legends of the Dark Knight has gone beyond. Batman Beyond, that is.
Ah, the new boy. Ears are too long and I miss the cape, but not too shabby, not too shabby at all.
Join Steve and Mike as they delve into the remaining episodes of the podcast, where they'll cover Batman Beyond, products, games, and more. Check it out only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Remote Control is the new TV podcast from the GeekCast Radio Network. We'll be covering TV shows and topics from the year 2000 to whenever now is. We'll have special themed episodes entitled Pilot and Season Premieres, as well as finishing finales. We'll also have Season Pass episodes, where we take a look at an entire season of a TV show. Remote Control can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and www.geekcastradio.com. So tune in, because we are all remote controlled.
Are you ready for more? Let's go.
All right, we are back here on Mass Mayhem, episode 26. And for season 2, up until watching it for the podcast, I do not remember anything from these 10 episodes whatsoever. I have not, like, until Shout Factory made the announcement a number of years ago that they were putting out the DVD set, I mean, I thought about Mask, you know, in passing, but I hadn't, up until Optimus Solo and I wanted to start this show because of the DVD set coming out, and because we wanted to go back and look at it and see if it is what we remembered, it isn't. You know, I hadn't thought of Mask in, well, coming up next year is its 30th anniversary, so I haven't, until we started doing this podcast, I hadn't thought of Mask in 30 years. And I remember nothing about the second season until we started watching it and I was rediscovering it, and that's what we're going to be getting in 27, 28, and 29. of the podcast, and then episode 30, Optimus Solo is going to come back, and the three of us are going to close out Mass Mayhem, and the podcast will be done. Had you gone back to look at the racing season at all or anything before this?
No, I really hadn't. And even the original season, the first season, I don't recall ever having seen the cartoon series growing up. I knew of it. I saw commercials for the toys, and obviously, like I said, my brother had the Thunderhawk. And I remember seeing the commercial for Rhino and wanting that toy, but I never got it. So that's really the familiarity I had with it, and I had completely forgotten about the series ever having existed until I was watching probably some YouTube videos on like top cartoon themes from the 80s. And I was like, wow, you know, that I remember that, you know, I remember those toys, and I remember the theme song. So I don't know where I heard it. Maybe I did watch some episodes, but I certainly don't remember watching any when I was a kid. It's not something I would have watched regularly, or I would have recalled it. But yeah, season two, I have no clue really. I've said before that being called the racing season, I kind of have this vision in my head of what that's supposed to be like, and I don't know if it's going to measure up to that or not.
All I can think of is Sweet Daddy D and Bubba J. Oh, look, they're making a left turn. They're making another left turn. I wonder what's going to happen next. Come back in 10 minutes. You ain't going to miss a fucking thing. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God. When I first heard they were calling it the racing series, and it's nothing. Like, I wish Mask had been more successful with this, because with the cartoon, because it could have been one of those giant. I mean, don't get me wrong. When people say Mobile Armored Strike Command, you know exactly what they're talking about. And, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, because it's part of your childhood from the 80s, as a child of the 80s. But going back and looking into it further, it's just like one of those mysteries you never want to uncover. I mean, it's like the alien goop stuff in the 1998 X-Files film. Those guys should have never broken into that cave. It's just one of those things. Just leave it alone. Just let it be. Just don't even get in any trouble.
Yeah, it might have been good the first time around, but leave it be.
Yes, very much so. Leave it be.
Well, and the thing is, you know, people remember the show.
Yeah, they do.
You know, it's just that it doesn't have the following that other shows do, and reason being that it just doesn't hold up. That when you're, you know, 7 or 8 years old or somewhere around there, it seems like it's fun. But you know, there, as far as I know, there aren't mass conventions like there are for other popular series from that era.
No, I don't think so. I know there was Power and ThunderCon, which was He-Man and Thundercats convention. That was back when the 2011 series was going on for Thundercats. I don't think that convention is even going anymore with He-Man at this point. Which kind of sucks, but yeah, no, Mask at this point is something you see on like Toy Hunter with Jordan Hindenburg on the Travel Channel. I mean, it is nothing. There's nothing going on with it. I know on Twitter we have some followers. I think it's called Mask the Movie. They're trying to put together. I would have to look it up and find it, but they've been really supportive of the show, even though we were on a 2-year hiatus. But, you know, it just... I hate to be repetitive, folks, but as Tim said, this show just... Animation-wise, on certain episodes, it holds up very well, and it looks very awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But storyline-wise, this is atrocious. If I can only have a top 5 out of 65 total episodes for the first season, there's something wrong, folks. There's really something wrong. So season 2 is coming up, the racing season, as I said, over episode 27, 28, and 29 of the podcast. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about Demolition Duel to the Death. let's see the other one. Where Eagles Dare and Homeward Bound. I didn't know Michael J. Fox and Sally Field were in this show. It's a bad Disney joke. All right, so that's going to do it for this episode of Mass Mayhem. We will catch you next time when we talk about the racing series. For now, I am TFT1 Mike with
Toon Master Tim.
Podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Illusion is the ultimate weapon.